You're listening to Real Talk with Maria DeRubis on AM 800.
You can call Maria now, 519-792-2559.
Well, good morning and happy Sunday, everyone, and hope your weekend has been going great so far. I was a little surprised to walk out this morning and find snow on my vehicle. However, spring is just around the corner, and you right now are listening to Real Talk with Maria. I'm your host, Maria DeRubis, and if you'd like to talk with me, the number is 519-792-2559 or text me at 10-800. I hope everyone remember to bring your clocks forward an hour, and that's going to impact all of us, just so that everyone knows that it's just not about losing an hour of sleep that's bad. It's just what it does is it's the misalignment between the sun clock and our brain clock that controls many of our sleep and social rhythms. And so the biological clock is synchronized to sunrise, so this misalignment results in a form of jet lag. So many of you might feel a little bit more tired, groggy, and moody in the next few days. And keep in mind that your children will take about a week to adjust, so be patient with one another. And perhaps to plan better for it next time is what researchers recommend is that the week of daylight savings time is that you start to go to bed at least 15 or 20 minutes earlier every night leading up to the daylight savings time. And you also want to wake up 15 to 20 minutes earlier. And that way, when the day comes and you're springing ahead, you are actually on the same or actually on the new time because you've done it gradually. So just something to keep in mind for the future. I wanted to start off by answering a question that I did not get a chance to do so last week. And the question is, my husband and I have been together for 10 years and just got married last year. We both have great respect for each other, but are very different in many ways. Our idea of good movies is very different. I don't like R-rated movies or shows with excessive violence and nudity, and I'm finding myself starting to judge him, and I don't know how to change that. So I although it was a text that came in, I wasn't really sure what the question was for me. And all I can say to this texter is that people are different, and we cannot make them like what we like. And perhaps you can express your thoughts and feelings to your partner about it. And when you do agree to watch a movie, you can choose one that will make you both happy, something kind of in the middle. So hopefully that's a helpful answer to you. I get a lot of people asking me or writing to me about advice regarding their romantic relationships. And one of the questions I often receive is, how do I know when the relationship is over? And even though it may feel really scary to leave, it can end up being more painful to stay in an unhealthy relationship. So we're just going to talk a little bit about how do we know when our relationship is over? And if you're able to relate to this or you have a similar question in regards to this, please give me a call at 519-792-2559 or shoot me a text at 10-800 and I'll do my best to give you a helpful response. When we start to question our relationship, there are usually some clear warning signs to help us know when our relationship is not working. If a relationship does not bring value to your life, and it doesn't leave you feeling good about yourself in this relationship, perhaps that's a sign to step back and revisit what this relationship is all about. We know that all relationships lose romantic intensity and steam over time. However, if you find that in your relationship there has been a long-standing absence of lightness and joy, and you feel emotionally flat, it's important to see your relationship problems in a real honest light. If you fear that you won't find a better, healthier relationship, you are by no means alone. How many of you have thought of this? You know, if I leave, will I find someone new? Will I find someone that is going to help me be happy. And all I can say is, you know, in my experience of, you know, persons that have separated and divorced, there's someone out there for everyone. And you may not find someone right away. However, in time, you may find someone that you're able to relate with and get along much better. And like I said earlier, that many people will rather stay in an unhealthy relationship than become newly single again and search for that long-lasting partner. It's very difficult for people to start dating again, and really, a lot of people are not open to this online dating. And that seems to be one of the main or major ways that we can connect with others. There are significant warning signs that you're in a dead-end relationship. And if one or two of these signs apply to you, it may be time, like I said, to step back and evaluate your relationship. So I'm just going to go through some of the signs that you might want to be aware of. And the first one is you can't shake an ever-increasing feeling that something just isn't right. And so many clients in these types of distress relationships share having a feeling that their relationship is just doesn't feel solid anymore. They don't feel like it's a healthy fit. Can you relate to this particular warning sign? Maybe deep down, or not even so deep down, you think it's time for a relationship to end, but you and your partner are resistant to accept that idea. However, it's been a persistent feeling, and if it has, chances are it's not going to go away, and it's something not to ignore. And it's so important that if you're starting to feel this way, that you find time to talk to your partner about it. Another warning sign is that all positivity has been replaced by negativity in your relationship. Couples generally start out with both parties being really into each other. And this is what we usually call infatuation. You know, the butterflies in your tummy. You're excited to see the other person. You can't wait to talk to them. You're texting constantly. And this is the initial phase of a relationship. And it typically will last 3 to 6 months, sometimes longer. And this is when each of you put the other on an idolized pedestal. But we know that this relationship euphoria is clearly not sustainable, at least not in a really healthy way. A distinct leveling off from this, everything about him is wonderful or she's just so perfect, is to be expected. However, if you're having frequent toxic fights or communication shutdowns, that is not healthy. And that's what will tend to start happening. Dead-end relationships also lack physical intimacy. And even if sex stays a strong force in a problematic relationship, it really means little. Because in the backdrop, there's head games, emotional distance, and disconnection. Another warning sign is that you just feel unfulfilled and unhappy. And this could be a huge deal for many. You may start to notice less happiness within yourself or even with some of your friends. You just don't see the joy any longer. Do you try to fix your partner, or does your partner try to fix you? If you argue about the same issues over and over again, things aren't likely to change. Are you willing to accept that? If not, it may be time to move on, or it may be time to seek out some therapy. Sometimes we wonder in our relationships that whether or not we would be happier outside our current relationship. Or even more than just feeling unhappy in your current relationship, do you feel maybe anxious, sad, or emotionally empty? Maybe even at some other points you feel like you're going to lose it. This could also be a sign that your relationship is heading down a very unhealthy path. Sometimes also in relationships, we find that we no longer are able to give our partner any slack. You tend to fight about everything. You're angry all the time. All you focus on is the negative parts of your partner. Whereas perhaps in the past, you might have let those little things slide. Do you tend to spend more time embroiled in conflicts than actually enjoying your time together? Do you sometimes wonder about the future? Does it seem gloomy? Are you able to talk about the future with your partner? Because that's a really important sign that we're able to talk about the future with each other so that we know what direction the relationship is going. So before I continue with some of the other warning signs, we do need to take a commercial break. You are listening to Real Talk on AM 800.
Sometimes life can be a lot. Maria DeRubis is here to help you through it. Call her now, 519-792-2559.
Well, welcome back, and thanks so much again for tuning in this morning. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy Sunday to listen in and hopefully gain some, you know, knowledge. And I'm here to listen. If you have any questions about relationships, mental health issues, addictions, any issues with friends, family, or coworkers, I'm here to help guide you. And once again, that number is 519-792-2559. We are talking about how do we know when a relationship ends, or how do we know a relationship is ending or over? And I've been going through some of the warning signs. We've got a few more that I'd like to share with you. The next one is when your relationship is constantly in conflict. When fighting is unrelenting to the point where there are very few minutes or moments of calm, we want to take this seriously. Okay, fighting about fighting or not fighting fair are both signs that the battles have grown really big and that they need to be addressed. It also tells me that there is still some passion in the relationship, and we can work on this. If you reach out to a therapist, we can work through this if both parties are willing to commit to looking at themselves and how they are contributing to some of these issues in the relationship. Another warning sign is that you may perhaps have stopped bothering to fight. Okay, some couples just become so exhausted that they just simply stop fighting. And this is not a good sign either. I'm concerned about couples where there's no disagreements, because that means that, you know, people are not expressing their true feelings and thoughts, and they're suppressing a lot. And eventually that is going to blow up. Okay, in this situation, most couples just stop sharing things with each other. They don't talk about anything because they're concerned or afraid that any disagreement will spiral out of control. Now, don't get me wrong. If there's abuse in the relationship, if there's physical violence, pushing, shoving, throwing things, this is very serious, and you need to address it, and you need to keep yourself safe. Another sign that the relationship might be heading in a dangerous zone is that one of you wants to seek help and the other one doesn't. And this is pretty classic in most of the couples that come in to see me. If counseling is clearly needed and yet only one person is willing to take that step, that is not a good sign. Not only does that represent a fundamental impasse in perspectives about how and whether the relationship can be saved, but it also means that there's no joint motivation to actually try to make things better. Another warning sign is that couples may have begun to treat each other with superficial politeness. So that's very similar to like a total lack of fighting. And this is where there's complete detachment between the couples. You're polite, you're civil with each other, and you're basically living like roommates. If that is okay with you, I'm not here to say that you need to leave the relationship. But I know that most people want that human connection. They want that intimacy. that they want that emotional connection. And so if you're not okay with living as roommates, then you need to sit down with your partner and talk about how you're feeling. And hopefully they can also relate to what you're saying, and both of you agree to seek out some therapy. And the last warning sign I'm going to bring out is that we make excuses not to spend time together. Now, in the strange world we live in, couples are spending a lot of time, but not good time. Okay, but if you find that you are avoiding spending time with your partner, you're making, you know, plans with friends and family, and you're not including your partner, that's a warning sign. You need to look at that. And so hopefully if you have heard some of these warning signs and you're not sure what to do, please give me a call at 519-792-2559. We do have a caller on the line, Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Actually, I'm doing pretty good. Just a couple of tones because I'm about ready to leave the vehicle and head into church.
Okay.
Church being the key word.
Yes.
A few years back, my wife and I weren't doing too great, and I realized it wasn't her, it was me. Mm. And to realize that point and to get help meant so much in volume. Of course, you know, if you read the book, it's like sacrifice yourself to your wife. I'm not saying kill myself, but, you know, I would take a bullet for my wife any day. But at the same token, you know, getting a lesson is we're to serve our partner, and the partners are to serve us. It's another way of saying we die to self, and we promote the person ahead of her, build the person, other person up.
Right.
And I always tell her I love her more today than I did when I first married her years ago, and she still has a hard concept to understand it. But, that, I mean, most people may understand that through time, hell, and just life itself, then if it's willing to be fought for, to survive for, then you're going to go through hard times, good times, and just mellow on the good times because the bad times are coming.
Yes. Oh, Joe, you are saying something so important, and I really appreciate you being so honest and stating that it was you that stepped back from the relationship and you looked at yourself and what part you were playing in it.
Yeah, I don't mean to be rude, but I literally got to get out of the vehicle.
Okay, you go ahead. I'm going to just talk a little bit more about it as we hang up. So, but thank you so much for calling and sharing.
Well, thanks for being that guiding light, literally.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Take care. So what Joe was saying is that he was able to step back and really look at his part in the relationship. And that is something really difficult to do. Most couples that come into my office will be pointing fingers at their partner. You know, you did this, you said that, if only you would do this, if only you would change that. And even when I'm asking the person speaking, you know, how are you feeling? What is your part? It goes back to their partner. And it has to start with you. You've got to step back from the cycle and you've got to ask yourself, what part am I playing in this? Am I being kind? Am I being compassionate? Am I being respectful? Because if you're not any of those things, how do you expect your partner to also come back and be kind, respectful, and compassionate with you? I'm just so floored when couples come in, and I had a young wife come in last week and share with me some of the horrible words that her partner called her during a fight. And that really broke my heart, because if you love someone, you would not be speaking to them the way that some people do speak to their partners. And so how are you going to feel that emotional connection? So if you think that you're going to change your partner, that's not going to happen. But you can certainly change your part in the relationship, and that will motivate your partner to also make changes. So just something to think about. So I do thank Joe for calling in. And I did get a text back from someone saying, hi, I know Joe. He's a special guy and his wife is a super lady. Well, thank you so much, texter, for validating that for us. I have another question. And it states, I'm not happy with my marriage. Do you have any suggestions, Maria? And yes, I do. I have actually two suggestions. We either try to change the relationship or we need to leave. Your question doesn't tell me why you're not happy, so I'm assuming that it's a standard discord and that there's no abuse, addictions, or anything that affects your safety. So I would really strongly encourage you to seek out a marriage counselor. The first one may not work out, or the second. Hopefully the first does, but if it doesn't, I don't want you to give up. I want you to keep finding a counselor that the two of you can actually connect with. And I always encourage therapy, as it's most often due to different communication styles and the inability for couples to connect vulnerably with each other. And if after you've tried counseling and you have given it your best efforts, and I mean you have put in 100%, and I'm talking about you, and this is going to take months, not days. It could even take a couple years. You may want to try a trial separation. And what we mean by a trial separation isn't that you're going to go out there living the single life and start dating others. It means that you're just going to separate. You're going to allow each of you time to explore your true feelings about your partner. And that's what we mean by a trial separation. You might both still love each other, but your core beliefs or desires are too different, and this takes time. So be patient and start sorting it out. And if all else fails and you have both really put in 100% and it has not become better, I hate to say that, it could be like the old Tina Turner song, What Does Love Got to Do With It? Okay, sometimes love is just not enough. But we always want to put in our best effort. Making the decision to end a marriage gets even harder if you have children. So you owe it to your children to try all of the above that I mentioned before you give up. Divorce can be a very complex and expensive proposition. And it may not be necessary if the two of you are able to work through some of these differences. And the other important thing to think about for therapy is that you want to access therapy earlier than later. And so with that, we do need to go to commercial. You are listening to Real Talk on AM 800 CKLW.
Real life, real fears, real difficulties. You don't have to go through it alone. Maria DeRubis is here to talk.
This is Real Talk with Maria DeRubis on AM 800.
Welcome back. And again, thanks for listening in. The number to call is 519-792-2559 or text me at 10-800. We are talking about relationships. However, we could talk about anything that you'd like to hear about. If you're having any issues, please give me a call and I will be here to guide you. I have another question that came in. How do you deal with a mother-in-law when your husband is not supportive and only believes and sides with his mom no matter what the situation? This is a pretty common question that I get. I know that I've answered this quite often on the Dan McDonald Show as well. And basically what I want to say here is that the problem may not all be your mother-in-law, that the problem could also be your husband. A husband should not be siding with his mommy. Wives come first, and it is up to him to get things under control. Your husband needs to speak up to his mom and set some boundaries now that he is married. In the ideal world, moms and dads on both sides would just stay out of their kids' marriages. That would be the ideal world. However, we know that doesn't happen. Also, keep in mind that people will treat you the way you let them. And so it's important for you to stick up for yourself in a respectful way if he does not back you up. We cannot get people to accept us. And you probably will not be able to get your mother-in-law to accept you, because accepting you will mean that they need to accept that their child is now an independent adult whose decisions and relationships need to be respected. So this mother-in-law may have to accept that they may not remain the most important person in their adult child's life. So they're really not struggling to accept you. They're struggling to accept their child moving further away from their sphere of influence. And you are just merely a symptom of the problem. So keep that in mind. If your partner is not willing to stand up for you and support you, then you may need to do it on your own. And this is this could be a really tough situation, especially if it doesn't get nipped early, because it can lead into resentment, anger, and hurt. And that is not healthy for any relationship. So I wanted to pivot a little bit, and I didn't want to not have this show and recognize International Women's Day, which was Friday, March 8th. So I know I'm a couple days late, but I wanted to acknowledge this. And International Women's Day is a holiday celebrated annually on March 8th, and it is a focal point in the women's rights movement. And when I did a little bit of research, I found that the earliest reported Women's Day event was called National Women's Day, and it was held on February 28, 1909 in New York City. And I thought that was pretty interesting. March 8 is a day that we celebrate the remarkable achievements of women and girls around the world. However, it's also a moment to recognize the enormous obstacles that women still face. Yesterday, it was really coincidental that I went to watch the movie Cabrini. Christina Del Anna did an excellent job in the role of Mother Cabrini, let alone that I love that a majority of the movie was in Italian. But it was so well done, and it was so heart moving to hear the difficulties that Italian immigrants faced in New York. And talk about oppression of our culture and to Italians in general, particularly towards women, really brought up a lot of sadness and anger in me. I recommend the movie to everyone, and really depicted the strength of Mother Cabrini and how she did not stay down. She kept getting up and faced all the obstacles to get to the goal, to get to her vision. My favorite quote from that movie was that Mayor Gould, who was the mayor of New York at that time, said to Mother Cabrini, "It's too bad you are a woman, as you would have made an excellent man." And I laughed out loud in the theater. But then she comes back with her response and she says, "No, as a man could never do what a woman can do." And I remember cheering also out loud in the theater. And I want to hear from women this morning. Please call me at 519-792-2559 or text me at 10800 and maybe share a story or a situation where you had to stand up for yourself as a woman. I know that as a woman, I have encountered many situations where I have felt oppressed regarding my gender, my intellect. These have all been challenged through the years. And I know that there are many other women that have also experienced these situations. I want to hear from you. And so I'm going to share just a couple stories of situations that have come up in my life where I recall feeling maybe disempowered, and how I was able to turn it around. And my belief and my passion is to empower women, empower actually any human being, but particularly women, to stand up for themselves and to continue striving for their vision or their goal. So my first example I'm going to share is that I was a little girl, I think around the age of 12. And, you know, we are immigrants. My parents are immigrants. I'm an immigrant. I immigrated from Italy, and I am actually, as people might say, off the boat. We traveled 7 days on, you know, Christopher Columbus ship to get to Halifax. And that's where we landed. It ended up in Windsor. But I remember at the age of 12, my dad was having some difficulties with one of the neighbors. And of course, he has he had a language barrier, and I at 12 was his translator. I would accompany him to places, offices, stores, to help him navigate the English language. And I remember having to call the Windsor police, and two officers attended. And the female officer was so rude and condescending to my dad. And I was my dad's translator. And I remember at the age of 12 feeling angered and disgusted by her behavior. I recall calling the station and making a complaint. I don't know how serious they took it, but we did get an apology by one of the supervisors. I don't know if the officer was reprimanded. But I remember thinking to myself, wow, you're a woman. You're speaking the way you're speaking, and I'm a young woman, and you have no consideration or compassion. So that's just a little example that I recall when I was 12. The next example I want to share happened to me when I returned to the University of Windsor to obtain my Master's of Social Work. It was 2002, and I was returning to school after 17 years of being absent from any academics. I was working full-time, was raising two young children, and I was really struggling with some of the courses as I found myself listening more to the suggestions of the professors rather than following my own vision. I recall doing very poorly on a paper, and one of my professors, and I'll describe him a little bit without, you know, giving his identity away, but he was male, he was arrogant and condescending, especially if as a woman you did not worship the ground he walked on, which I certainly did not. And he suggested to me that perhaps obtaining my MSW was not for me, that perhaps I needed to basically call it quits. And that really pissed me off. And I remember saying to myself, how dare you say that to me? And I'm going to show you. And that was a pivotal moment for me. I remember I stopped listening to the suggestions of others, and I started following my own gut and following my own vision of what I wanted to do as a Master of Social Work student. And so today my degree hangs in my office as a reminder that I did it. And it also reminds me that that professor did not know what he was talking about. And so if you have a story to share, I would love to hear from you. And I would love to hear from you after we take this short break. You are listening to Real Talk on AM 800 CKLW.
Helping you live a more purposeful life. You're listening to Real Talk with Maria DeRubis on AM 800.
Well, we're back, and we have a few moments still left in the show today. So if you want something to share, please call me at 519-792-2559 or text me at 10800. There are so many examples that I can give that I've had to really step back and stand up for myself through the years. And I love being a woman. I treasure my female friends. And my passion, as I said earlier, is to empower women to stand up for themselves. Don't take no for an answer. Fight back and take your issue as far as you can. And when I say fight back, I'm not saying that you need to, you know, storm into a room and make your point known and being rude and disrespectful. You can stand up for yourself and still do it in a very kind, compassionate, and respectful way. And the most important part of that is that you need to learn to set boundaries. I hear women that I work with often say things like, yeah, but you know, that means I'm not being nice, or, you know, how are people going to look at me? It doesn't matter how people look at you. People are going to look at you the way they want to look at you, whether you're, you know, speaking up for yourself or whether you're not speaking up for yourself. People are always going to say something about you. And my motto in life is that not everyone is going to like you. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. I know there's people out there that don't care for me. And at this point in my life, it doesn't bother me because I know it's not about me. It's more about them. And so if you are a woman and you are listening this morning, I want you to remember that you have value, you have purpose, and that you can achieve what you want to achieve if you put your mind to it and if you have the support of others in your life, especially other women. And I do not hesitate if I see a woman who perhaps, you know, has lipstick on her tooth or, you know, something's not looking right on her. I will, you know, share that with her because I don't want her walking around. And so we need to do that. We need to straighten out each other's crown and support each other. It's a tough world. And so, you know, if we can be kind and compassionate to each other, that's going to go a long way. And so if you can relate to this, I really would love to hear from you. Shoot me a text at 10-800 if you are too nervous about calling the station. I'm sure that you have lots to share. I do have a question that I would like to get to as well. It's related again to relationships, and it's basically, how do I get my partner to change the things I don't like? Is this even possible? And what I can say to you, texter, is just sit down at a time when you are both relaxed and in a place that you're not going to be interrupted. Turn off your cell phones and have a conversation. If you find that your emotions are too riled up, perhaps you want to go for a walk, because when we walk, we tend to soothe our distress, and that may allow you to communicate in a non-threatening way. And tell your partner how you feel without blaming them, without telling them that they're wrong or inadequate. And so I suggest this because as soon as you start talking about them, they may feel threatened and they may stop listening to you. So it's really about making I statements and avoiding you statements. An example of this might sound like, when you don't call to say you're going to be running late, I feel like I don't matter. And this is because my parents neglected me when I was a child. And this behavior triggers my unresolved problems with self-value. So that's an example of how you can share how their behavior affects you rather than saying something like, what is wrong with you? You are so inconsiderate. Or something like, I'm going to leave you if you don't change or you become better. Okay, that's not going to go anywhere. Okay, and remember, we cannot make someone else change and we cannot even motivate them to change. Okay, and if you ask for change and your partner isn't providing it, the first thing you may want to decide is whether or not this type of behavior is worth leaving for. Okay. And the exception to this rule is that physical violence or any form of abuse is never acceptable. And so keep in mind also that no one is perfect and relationships are not perfect. We cannot make an issue out of every annoyance or hurt, and we have to decide what is truly a deal breaker, and we have to kind of, you know, pick our battles. And also look at, like I said earlier when Joe had called, is how are you contributing to making this relationship better? And at the end of the day, you've got to put in 100%. And this is what I tell clients when they come in, especially for couples counseling. I ask them, are they willing to commit that for the next 6 months or so, they have both feet in the marriage and they are both going to dedicate 100% in doing things differently, whether or not their partner is doing it. And that's the key. Okay. And so if you need to reach out, if you want to start your healing journey, you can reach me by going to my website at www.mariaderubis.com. There's a form that will pop up. You can fill it out. It comes directly to me. It's all confidential. And I will respond to that. You could also text me at 226 248-241-6393. And if I'm not able to get you the response that you require, I will do my best to get back to you with an answer or with some direction. If I'm not the person for you, I can also make some recommendations to see other therapists in the community. And so I want to leave with today's quote. It's by Michelle Obama, and it states, "Women and girls can do whatever they want. There is no limit to what we as women can accomplish." And I just love that. And I hope women out there that are listening, that you love that quote. And for the men out there, keep in mind, treat women as a precious diamond. And you will also have that in return. And so thank you once again for listening to my show, Real Talk. I'm Maria DeRubis, and I want to wish everyone out there a great week, and I will be here next Sunday.